Hi, kids. Welcome to Bronco Land. We got some smart ones in the room.
Thank you for joining us on the DenverBroncos.com podcast. Ben and Mace back with you as we get ready for week 14. The season is coming to a close and, you know, just a few more weeks, but a lot of things still have to shake out at the top, especially Broncos in the race for the top seed now, as the Patriots have lost a couple in a row here. I mean, I don't know if people thought that the Patriots would lose a couple in a row after they started the season 10-0. I don't know if people really thought that was kind of the way things would shake out, but now there's a three-team kind of tie almost. Once you get to the tiebreakers, then it kind of shakes out a little bit more after that. But Broncos, Bengals, Patriots.
And it's a tiebreaker that the Broncos can win if they win out, and that's because they have the Bengals in a head-to-head game in Week 16, and then if the Broncos do win out, even if the Patriots match them, obviously the Broncos have the win over them. And what's interesting is that if the Broncos could lose a game as long as it was not to the Bengals, if they went 3-1 and had a loss in one of the other games, then they would still have a bye week no matter what happened and could still have home field advantage with one Patriots loss, because the Broncos would win a three-way tiebreaker in that circumstance with the Patriots and Bengals, because they would have beaten them head-to-head. Even though the Patriots and Bengals don't play each other, if one team in a three-way tiebreak has beaten the others, then they win the tiebreaker. So, you know, the Broncos, they're in good shape in terms of where they stand on potential tiebreakers, but at the same time, they've got a demanding schedule the rest of the way. You know, the Raiders and Chargers at home, sandwiched with games against the Steelers and then the Bengals, and certainly that Steelers game looks very tricky. But this Raiders game could be tricky as well, because the Broncos currently have 22 players on the injury report, and that's been the storyline of the week.
So I do like the injury report for the website, just updating that list. And it's kind of a tedious process because the CMS is kind of
balky.
Yeah. It's basically just convoluted. It's not so much confusing as it's just many steps involved. Mm-hmm. And the more players you have, the more times you have to repeat about three or four steps. So it's been a very long process this week putting that together, even though it shouldn't be. But, I mean, it starts – It's pretty much every position. Every starter on the offensive line is listed. Oh, let's see, starting nose tackle, Danny Trevathan. We should see if we can name all of them. Danny Trevathan, David Bruton, Omar Bolden, T.J. Ward. I think Darian Stewart's on there. Is Kayvon on there? I don't know.
I don't think Kayvon's on there, but Peyton Manning, did you name him?
Peyton Manning, C.J. Anderson, Ronnie Hillman.
Owen Daniels. Two guys are a question. Yeah, both two tight ends, and then two receivers are questionable as well.
Benny Fowler.
And?
Cody?
Bubba.
Bubba with a quad.
Yeah.
Bubba's got a quad.
And actually, there's another receiver on there, Emmanuel Sanders. Still listed there because of the finger.
Then you got your five linemen, but I think that's it for the linemen.
Yeah. Vance Walker's still on there.
Yep.
Sly Williams. DeMarcus Ware still on there.
Right. Shane with
and
illness.
And you're right about Darian Stewart. Good call. Yeah, I think we got everybody.
My goodness. Anyway, long list. The Broncos will definitely have to call on their depth to fill in with that. I mean, they're no strangers to that. That's what they've been preparing for this entire season, this entire offseason.
Yeah, good that you mentioned the offseason. That was something that Brandon Marshall touched on today when he was talking about Todd Davis is going to, of course, start in place of Danny Trevathan. Well, not exactly in place. Brandon Marshall is going to move over to Trevathan's Mo linebacker spot. The two inside linebackers are called the Mike and the Mo. Mike is, of course, the middle. Mo lines up over the three technique. The defensive end. So Marshall's going to the Mo. Todd Davis is going to the Mike. Trevathan's going to be out because of the concussion he had last week. But, you know, Marshall was talking about how in the offseason, of course, the way that this coaching staff handled younger players and handled OTAs and training camp with giving veterans a lot of days off. And then at the inside linebacker spots, of course, Marshall and Trevathan both were out through all of OTAs and a decent chunk of training camp because they were coming off offseason surgery. So guys like Corey Nelson and Todd Davis had their chances to show what they could do. The fact that Marshall is being moved over, I think, probably says a lot about how the team feels about Todd Davis, that they think he's the most ready of the two backup inside linebackers to step up and play. Certainly, Kubiak has praised Todd Davis's work on the practice field. Joe DeCamillis says that Davis is emerging as a leader on special teams, especially since David Bruton Jr., he's the special teams captain, has not been able to do as much on special teams because he's had a more extensive defensive role. And the fact that Davis has shown so much, I think, is why he's going to get this long look on Sunday. And like Marshall said in the locker room on Friday, hey, you know, Davis is going to be a starter in this league. He sees a lot in him. The Broncos see a lot in him. Now, find out more about what they have after they did have to start him late last season because of injuries at linebacker.
Well, a lot more time for him to prepare this time as opposed yes. to the last time, I think. Was his first start last year against the Bengals? Was that?
When yeah, 40 days after he was claimed off waivers from the Saints.
Yeah, and then he made his debut on the starting for the defense in prime time. So this year, a little bit more experience behind him headed mm-hmm. into this game. I feel like them having this goes to pretty much every position because we see the offensive line do it. Mm-hmm. We see the defensive line all kind of rotating in a lot of their depth and. I think that with guys being out completely, Danny especially being out completely and having to get Todd out of there, and we've seen guys like Josh Bush, who returned, kind of make his impact. The special teams, I feel like, might see a little bit more action than they usually do because usually that's like their only job. Usually Todd Davis is just mostly in on special teams. Mm-hmm. Josh Bush would mostly do special teams like he did earlier in the season, but with Bruton battling injuries, with Bolin battling injuries, and all those guys just kind of seeing more defensive snaps, period, they're going to be a little bit more tired for the special teams parts, even though, you know, those don't happen very often.
Yeah, and that's where you have to be careful because if you go back to a couple of years ago when the Broncos had a lot of injuries going into the 2013 postseason. And they had some special teams issues in the postseason. Of course, everyone remembers, you know, Percy Harvin's kickoff return for a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And, you know, it was a bad kick by Matt Prater, no question. But you also look at the fact that the Broncos had a kickoff coverage unit that was mostly new guys compared to what it had in what the intended composition of it was because injuries had taken their toll on the defense and had forced and that domino effect forces changes on special teams, so the chemistry wasn't quite there. And so that's why Sunday you're going to have to be careful. Joe DeCamillis is probably going to do a little bit extra to make sure that his guys are on point and knowing where each other's going to be, what when they get downfield, what areas they're covering, because this is the kind of situation that could lead to some communication miscues and some returns that end up being longer than they should. That being said, Brandon McManus can take care of it on kickoffs by just blasting it out of the end zone, and you're going to be at 5,280 feet, so you would expect that he would be able to just send the ball beyond the end line, force the Raiders to start at the 20 on the kickoffs. You're more concerned about it on the punts and also on returns as well because Omar Bolden has the hamstring injury. He hasn't practiced all week. Emmanuel Sanders, he worked back there on punt returns last Sunday once Bolden went down, but the Broncos have some other options. You might see the new backup safety, Shiloh Kao, even getting some looks on punt returns as well.
Yeah, and then Jordan Norwood is another option mm-hmm. there. They talked about he has some experience, though. We've seen some miscues there from him in recent history, I think. Oh, God, which game? Maybe it was a preseason game. Anyway.
It was in the preseason. Seattle?
I think it might have been Houston or something.
Yeah. Well, there were so many miscues on returns in the preseason. You know.
Well,
Solomon Patton, I think, had the miscue against Seattle, maybe.
Yeah, that might have been it.
Yeah, but yeah, it's been messy, and you know, it was messy for a while. Omar Bolden's provided some stability and also provides some explosiveness on punt returns that the Broncos simply did not have, and they're going to take a hit without him if he doesn't play.
Sunday's game, the Raiders. This is a team that we kind of know what we're dealing with at this point after having played one game against them already. You know, they've kind of fallen off a little bit since their pretty solid start, I would say. They got above 500 but have since fallen back below it. Our third in the AFC West dropped a tough game against Kansas City last week. Derek Carr threw three picks in the fourth quarter. First three of four drives in the fourth, he throws picks. They turn a 6-point lead into a 14-point deficit.
Yeah, and kind of the theme of the Raiders so far this season has been having these opportunities against really good teams and letting them slip away. Obviously, one of them was against the Broncos. I mean, the Broncos did not play well. Mm-hmm. A couple of interceptions gave the Raiders some opportunities, but they couldn't cash in. And then ultimately, the Broncos forced Derek Carr into that one big mistake when they went heavy on a six-man rush and really caught him off guard and forced the throw that Chris Harris Jr. took into the end zone for a pick six. But, you know, they had a chance against Pittsburgh back on November the 8th. You know, went back and forth with them. The defense let the Raiders down that day. A game against Chicago wouldn't have been a signature win, but certainly they lose that one on the last second Robbie Gould field goal. That's one that they want to have back. You know, Oakland is a team, you look at some of their losses, and you can say this team is 3 or 4 plays away from being 8-4 or 9-3. Yeah. So they're very close, and it probably is going to be too late for them to make a postseason run this year, simply because, you know, you've got three teams sitting at 7-5 right now in the wild card race. So it's really
that Kansas City game really kind of tank that.
Yeah, like if they'd won last week they would have been right in the thick of it. And I think when they get to the off season, they may kick themselves over that Chiefs game last week and the game in Pittsburgh. And if those two go in a different direction, I think maybe you talk about the Raiders making their playoff breakthrough this year rather than a year from now when I could see it coming. But at the same time, they have the chance to set themselves up well for next year, wherever they end up having their home games, with this game against Denver. They have Green Bay coming to Oakland in week 15, and then another chance to get Kansas City in week 17 at Arrowhead Stadium. A win in any of those three games, I think, would give the Raiders a tremendous amount of confidence going forward. And that's what, when you're a young team, that's what you're looking for, confidence, building blocks, and that's one of the reasons why the Broncos have to be on point in this game, because Oakland certainly believes they're only a few plays away from being right there in the playoff race and even in the divisional race. They feel they're very close, and they know what an upset win over one of those three teams could mean. This is their first opportunity for it to make sure they can, at minimum, end this season on a positive note.
Turnovers will be key. They had a couple turnovers last week that they forced. Charles Woodson recovered a couple fumbles, but they couldn't make the most of them. So I think mm-hmm. on the one side, with the Broncos' defense limiting whatever, if they get any turnovers at all, first of all, that's important. And the other side, making the most, because those three turnovers in the fourth quarter mm-hmm. all became touchdowns, one on a pick six. Obviously, Chris Harris's pick last time we played the Raiders was a pick six. So. Mm-hmm. I think if you can capitalize on those and kind of force their mistakes to become even more costly, as opposed to just taking away possession.
Yeah. And the Raiders, they're going to get the football. They're going to try to take the football away. You look at their last 11 games, they've had multiple takeaways 8 times, including against the Broncos when Charles Woodson had the 2 interceptions. You know, they are, you know, in terms of going after the football, they are aggressive. They will force you into mistakes. And then it becomes incumbent upon the Broncos offense to avoid those kind of mistakes. And that's been a kind of a key topic this week, because Brock Osweiler has made reference to, you know, managing the game. I think the term game manager has a negative connotation that perhaps it shouldn't, at least in the Broncos' instance, because when you have a top-ranked defense, as the Broncos do, you have pretty good special teams, and a running game that is improving, although it maybe have a little bit of a setback this week with all the injuries at running back, but the Broncos have one of the league's best running games the last few weeks. It's starting to look the way you always thought it was going to right. in the Gary Kubiak offense. And so when you have those other aspects of the team working, what are you asking of the passing game and a young quarterback like Brock Osweiler? You're asking, okay, take what's there and don't make mistakes. And that's why he kind of looks back at the interception that he had Sunday in San Diego when he was throwing for Emmanuel Sanders on the fade route. That's going to frustrate him, but that's also going to be something he can learn from, because you have to understand the game situation. You're up 17-3, a field goal puts you up three scores. Maybe that wasn't the time to take that kind of chance. You take that kind of shot when you're down a couple of scores in that situation, but not when you're up by 14, one score gets it to 20-3 and probably would have effectively ended the game right then and there. So that's something he's going to learn from. And based on what he has said, he understands what his role is, and he knows that a big job for him as a quarterback for the Broncos right now is don't mess this up. Don't give the defense short fields, because if you can at least get it, if you don't turn the ball over, at least you're forcing the opposing offense to start at its 25, 20, 15-yard line. So they've got to go 75, 80, 85 yards. And for the most part, this defense is good enough to where it's going to be able to keep the opponent out of the end zone if you force the opponent to go 80 yards to try to score.
Plus, if the defense is fresh, as opposed to, you know, when you give the offense mm-hmm. a short field and they have to come back on the field in quick succession, then it kind of makes things a little bit more difficult. But
yep, and that's what a lot of defensive guys talked about on Sunday and Monday after the game, that 6.5-minute drive at the start of the fourth quarter that the offense mounted after Demaryius Thomas had that had went low for that catch on third down, got the Broncos out of a bad situation in terms of field position starting at their own 2-yard line. They end up only getting to the San Diego 48, but by chewing 6.5 minutes off the drive and then Britton Colquitt getting a perfectly placed punt to put the Chargers deep in their own territory, that was as good a drive as you can have without scoring. It succeeded. I mean, really, I would say more successful as far as being important to the game and just showing what the offense can do than a scoring drive. Really, that's part of the equation for the Broncos if they're going to get where they want to go.
I'm excited to see what Von Miller brings in this game, because it seems like he always has something in store for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Every time that he plays them, he seems like he forces a turnover or makes some kind of memorable sack. Mm-hmm. And after he talked with Allie Raymond of the website for the Through My Eyes piece, he talked about how he didn't see that game, the previous game, two sacks, forced fumble recovery against the Chargers, as his breakout game. He said that he felt really close to breaking out maybe a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of wondered, well, is that what you were envisioning? Is like, no, I don't think I've had that game yet. So kind of interested to see what kind of game that would be to have more than two sacks and, you know,
and this and
blowing
I think
up Philip Rivers.
Yeah, and I mean, he a tremendous game for him last week, and you know, this is the kind of game where I think you know, a quarterback like Derek Carr, who's improving, who's having a good season. He's got two targets that he trusts in Michael Crabtree, who got the big yep. contract extension yep. this week, and Amari Cooper. Those two work so well together. Their skill sets are a perfect complement. They're getting better play out of their tight ends. Clive Wolford made some plays in the last few weeks as well. So you're going to rely on the pass rush to try and create some havoc. Another interesting thing to watch in this game is when the Broncos are on defense, you're going to see Von Miller. And it would appear DeMarcus Ware, probable for the game, practiced fully on Friday, looking good. It'd be his first work since the first half of the Colts game on November the 8th. But then when the Raiders' defense is on the field, you're going to get to see Khalil Mack. And Mack is really starting to take off in his second season. He has 4 sacks in the last 2 games, 9 for the season. And very similar to Von Miller when Von Miller was working as a 4-3 strong side backer, and then when you go into sub package, he was a defensive end. You know, very versatile, multi-talented, really not a flaw in his game. And the thing with Khalil Mack that makes I think is going to make him intriguing to watch on Sunday, the Raiders move him all around. Sometimes he'll line up over the left tackle, sometimes over the right tackle, sometimes he'll be over the tight end on the strong side. They'll give a lot of different looks with Khalil Mack, and they're going to try to force the biggest mismatch, and it'll be interesting to see which part of the Broncos blocking scheme they try to use Khalil Mack to expose. You know, Michael Schofield has given up some sacks in recent weeks. Maybe they end up using Khalil Mack as a left defensive end when they go into pass rush situations to try and force a one-on-one with Schofield. And if that's the case, you may have to make sure that one of the tight ends is in to help block, because Schofield has had some problems in recent weeks with speedy guys around the edge. So, Von Miller, Khalil Mack, if you are a fan of pass rushers, this is the game for you, because you're going to see one of them on almost every play Sunday.
Jack Del Rio certainly has had a good run with those kind of guys.
Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the reasons why he was so excited about taking that job. Not only because I think he's kind of a Raider at heart, California guy, or Northern. He went to SC, but he is a Northern California guy at one point in his distant past. But I think he looked at a guy like Khalil Mack and said, I can do something with him. Because he did an awful lot with Von Miller. And the way Jack Del Rio is using Khalil Mack is very similar to how he used Von Miller. And it's provided a good template. And then, of course, a lot of teams in this league don't have the quarterback. Well, the Raiders have a quarterback, and he's young, and he's improving. So you've got in Oakland, or wherever the Raiders end up being next year, you've got the two building blocks, and you can assemble the team around those guys. They may not be able to get back to 500 or above 500 this year. Of course, they haven't been above 500 since going to the Super Bowl in 2002. But I think their breakthrough is very, very close. Someone asked me this week, is this rivalry between the Broncos and Raiders dead? I don't think it is. I think it's very close to getting back to where it once was. But of course, if the Raiders and Chargers are both the teams that go to LA, then somebody's getting moved out of the AFC West, because you're not going to have two LA teams in the AFC just for television purposes.
Right.
It's kind of hard to fathom, but there is a possibility that this rivalry may be abandoned and become a once every 4 year thing, depending on what shakes out in LA. And that's kind of sad. I don't really want to think about that. That's making me all maudlin and melancholy. But if the Chargers and Raiders go to LA, someone's going to have to go to the NFC. My guess is Seattle would come back from the NFC, kind of the last team in, first team out. And of course they have a long history with AFC West, so that's something that not a lot of people are talking about, but it's worth it's worth thinking about as this game comes up, because you would imagine that if they did realign, they would probably want to do it pretty quickly.
You don't
want to keep those networks unhappy, not with the amount they're paying.
Well, the rivalry will resume. For now, the Raiders will hope to end an 8-game losing streak to the Broncos here. And I'm sure they'd like to repay the Broncos' road win from, was it October?
Week 5.
October, yeah.
First time that DeMarcus Ware got hurt.
Yes, first time.
Yeah.
Well, we might see him back.
Looks good.
He says he's ready to ball, so I'll take his word for it.
Well, there are so many injured guys, he kind of has to at least be in uniform. And that's something also worth noting. When you find out who the inactives are 90 minutes before kickoff on Sunday, it might be possible that, hey, C.J. Anderson is up and active, even though he didn't practice all week. That could happen. But it wouldn't surprise me if there is another situation or two or three, very similar to what Lou Vasquez had last week in San Diego, where the player is active, but it's only in an emergency that he's going to play.
What they hoped Evan Mathis would have done.
Right. They wanted that from Evan Mathis against New England. It didn't quite work out. And he, in fact, uh, and Mathis and Vasquez both still fighting injuries, and Kubiak has said we're going to see Max Garcia working on at least one, if not both, of the guard spots on Sunday. But
how vindicated, this is just kind of, how vindicated do you feel after getting so many questions about Max Garcia? Like, why is he playing? Why is he even doing stuff? He's just a rookie. And then he comes out and, like, destroys the Patriots and helping the rushing game run all over New England.
Okay, a little bit. I was going to say I didn't, but a little. The thing is, in being on social media, you have an interesting insight into human nature.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, we see some of the worst. I mean, if you go to the Broncos Facebook page and the entry for the squeeze on Thursday, which, of course, had an item about Ryan Harris speaking out. Ryan Harris is a devout Muslim speaking out after Donald Trump's incendiary, and I think that's being kind, statements this week. I could probably say much, much worse about it. And some of the comments on there were just so vile and so uncompassionate, if that is a word. And really just, it was kind of the worst of humanity on display with some of the comments on there.
It stinks. Ryan Harris is such a nice guy.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I'm not sure that I've covered 10 people in all my years on Pro Football Beats that are nicer people than Ryan Harris.
But he's fun. Yeah. Like he makes a lot of things, like,
he's fun and he's smart. I mean, I have a 3-year-old daughter. If she grew up to marry someone like Ryan Harris, I'd be a happy man.
There you go.
He's just a good dude.
Yeah, he's great. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap up the podcast. It's Friday. We wanna head out.
It's the big holiday party tonight for the Broncos organization. Yes.
So everyone, I'll be staying off social media.
It'll be interesting to see if the players stay off social media, though. This party usually tends to yield some fun Instagrams or two.
Oh, yeah.
So check out
There's
the squeeze.
There's a photo booth. A photo booth, so that'll be fun.
You might want to check out the squeeze on Saturday for some of the highlights.
With that, enjoy the game. We will catch you all in a week.